This is your teacher, DMA, addressing you with his heart. Let us feel the spirit of wisdom embracing us together. I shall deal now with your documentary lesson number 22. Peace be unto you. Now, my beloved, in lesson 22, we shall proceed with the ionization of the body on most practical lines. It is necessary to get into our minds as clear a perception as is possible of the force that we are using when we do this. The force, of course, is thought. We are so accustomed to using this power that we rarely stop to inquire anything about it. Let us then just see the high spots, so to say, about thought and electricity. What then is this force that we use every moment that we live? Now, no one can state just exactly what electricity is, but as I have previously remarked in your lessons, everyone knows how it acts, and many men are able to direct its action. But what it is in itself, no scientist will venture to state. A force that is latent in nature is about the limit of our knowledge. But science is now discovering what the ancients have known for centuries, that there is a similarity between electric force and thought force. While what thought is in itself may be obscure, as electricity may be obscure, how it acts is not obscure. Thought is the conscious activity of the creative spirit as differentiated from the subconscious activity of the creative spirit. Now, one metaphysical writer puts it as mind in action. Action being the outcome of energy, and energy the product of mind substance. Now, all this is true, for all is mind, not only in a metaphysical sense, but in actuality. Hence, everything in the universe has been thought into existence. And the force of thought is the tool that does it. And as explained already, this whole universe is a great thinking organism. Everything coming from thought. Now, when I say that I am thinking, the words refer to the I am, to the me who is consciously forming ideas. Certain signs in the sky will cause me to say, it's going to rain. Now, whether it rains or not is not of such vital importance to my human body, but what I think about my body is of tremendous importance. But if the I am, if the me of me thinks, well, everything around here is looking pretty black. Everyone around here is catching the flu. I'm sure to get it. And then allows the mind to dwell upon it in conscious fear. The person thinking this is making preparation for a visit to the hospital. That thought is a force has been abundantly proven in recent years. The brain, your brain, my brain, is, one may say, like a battery. For it is indisputable that thought is stored up and operated from the brain. The force of thought may be either concentrated, as when we send a message along the nerve to the fingers to direct the operation of writing or any other work, or dispersed in every direction, that is, radiated, as we do in singing or speaking to an audience. In the latter case, the thought is first concentrated in the brain and then liberated by speech and gesture in every direction. Let us put this as simply as possible by way of illustration. An inventor sits and concentrates the force of his thought upon an idea, gradually building up a thought form. Now, he does this by attracting the subtle mind substance into the form of the object of which he has a mental picture, say a machine. This then exists as a thought form, a form of thought, before it can be materialized. In short, a mental concept must precede the making of the machine. It is then said to exist in the imagination of the inventor. Now we see, of course, that it is the result of concentrated thought. And the inventor then knows, or thinks he knows, exactly how to go about his work, for he has it in his mind. But when we stand upon a platform to address a crowd, we radiate, we broadcast our own mental concepts into the receivers, the brains of our listeners. The audience then acts as so many broadcasters to spread our ideas. Speaking generally, the receivers are weaker batteries. Their radio thought activity is weak. Now, in the case of the speaker, the radioactivity of the thinker is acting upon and through vibrations of sound. He has charged his battery by his concentrated thinking, that is, his meditations upon the matter in hand. Now, my beloved, let us not get weary in mind. Let us just pay attention and rest. We know that there are vibrations more subtle than the brain can perceive. In like manner, there are thought vibrations so rarefied that they are not possible of interpretation in terms of physical vibration. It is common to say, as quick as thought. As quick as thought. A thought travels more quickly than light. When we prick our finger, for example, the brain knows instantly. The lapse of time between the wound and its perception in the brain cannot be measured. So rapid is the response. But there is a realm of thought that is not dependent on the senses. To prick a finger causes a sensation. The speaker also causes sensation. Not so in the higher realm. If I were not now speaking, you, the student, could not perceive my meaning. If the speaker were to remain silent in thought before his audience, they would have no idea of his cogitations, and his great thoughts would be lost upon the people he was facing. Ideation, however, is not dependent upon the senses. We have ample experience of this in dreams or in the state of hypnosis. In the state of auto-hypnosis, which we induce in our meditations, thought is acting quite independent of sensation. That is why we lose all sense of time. For time is the sensation of the succession of events. Without events, we could not mark time. Now, the magic realm that we refer to, my beloved, is, of course, the realm of imagination. It is said truly that the imagination can imagine anything, everything. And we have but to think a single moment to realize that there is nothing in existence that was not first imagined. Because it is in existence, in the whole realm of mind substance, we can imagine it. Now here is where we may make a personal application of the force of thought, this being, in a very real sense, our sole object in these initial lessons in the science of mental physics. Whatever attribute you desire, be it youth, beauty, health, success, strength, power to make money, success in love, or anything else, to find your way in this world, to be what a man or woman should be, to find your God, to become God, do not attempt to will it. It should not be attempted that way. Rather, imagine it. Visualize it. Thus you create it. And do not imagine it is something that is to be obtained. For then you are thinking in the future tense. No, to be is tomorrow. And tomorrow, as I am so fond of saying, never comes. Thus, my beloved, you postpone your benefits. Imagine that you actually possess it now. That you actually have it now. 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 Now, my beloved, let me illustrate. You say that you are old. You state that you are 50, we will say. Well, now, in your mind, you associate with 50 years of age certain qualities, certain drawbacks that are commonly supposed to exist at the age of what is called 50. Now, these ideas are negative, so that when you associate yourself with them, the subconscious mind, accepting the tradition of the race, proceeds through your mental acquiescence or even your spoken acquiescence to build these accepted qualities into your body. Now, if you do not accept, you refuse the race tradition. Instead, you proceed to work on the imagination in opposition to the race habit, forming a mental concept of just what you desire to be. You desire youth. Just how young do you desire to be? There is no standard of youth. For some at 16 appear 26, and vice versa. You are not to say and think that you are 16. What you have to do is to imagine yourself as you truly want to be. You form a mental concept, as the inventor does. Let us apply this to the voice. You want to be a beautiful singer. And of course, you have to start with the limitations of your physical organ. Suppose that you're a natural tenor, a natural soprano. But there may be so little to work on that you're actually ashamed of it, perhaps. Never mind. Start right in to imagine that you have a perfectly wonderful voice. Not that you will have it, but that you have it now. As all things must exist in the ideal before they are embodied, you have actually what you desire in the idea state. You embody them by your attitude to them. With this idea firmly rooted in the imagination, you then start right away to cultivate it. You study music. You honestly and fervently practice. And if you as a student will go at it earnestly, there is nothing to prevent you from developing a beautiful voice. In a short time, you'll surprise both yourself and your friends. Now, this is no chimera. And what is more, the principle may be applied in any direction, so long as it is not applied negatively.